Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Wednesday, June 3rd. I'm Sarith Hawk. Tuesday was Election Day. The Valley weighed in on a lot of races, including California governor and many other city and county positions.
I like to exercise my right as a citizen to come down and put it in the box and to get my little sticker saying I voted and walk away.
We'll bring you a handful of local election results coming up after these headlines. An hours-long hostage situation unfolded into the night on Tuesday in downtown Bakersfield. It started around 1 p.m. on Tuesday afternoon when police were called to investigate a bomb threat inside the Chase Bank building at 17th and Chester. Authorities found one man who had barricaded himself inside with a number of hostages. Police have not clarified how many people were being held. As of Tuesday night, hostage negotiators had gotten two hostages released safely. No injuries were reported, but the area remained active with a strong police presence. Here's Sergeant Eric Celadone with the Bakersfield Police Department.
We want to inform you guys to ensure you guys that we have every single resource at our disposal out here to bring this to the safest resolution possible. From the SWAT team, bomb squad, crisis negotiators, our drone team, canine unit, as well as our federal partners, we're all out here to ensure our community is as safe as possible and everything that goes on in that building comes to the safest conclusion possible.
Nearby buildings were placed on lockdown, including City Hall and the police headquarters. Voters throughout the Valley cast their ballots in California's primary election Tuesday. In Fresno County, voters say topics of immigration, affordability, and homelessness were top of mind. Many voters also expressed a desire for wider acceptance of different views and a broader political spectrum among candidates. KVPR spoke to Fresno County voters from all backgrounds and political parties who visited polling stations Tuesday. Georgie Dayton is a 92-year-old performer in Fresno. As a Republican, she said her election priorities are water access and border control.
When you love your country, you care about it. You just don't walk out and leave the door wide open.
Other voters told KVPR that immigration and rising costs of gas were their biggest concerns, like Julio Barrio, a 26-year-old Democrat from Fireball.
This will determine the future for California in terms of how well we do with the current administration right now.
The top two vote-getters for governor and most other races will be decided as ballots are tallied over the next week. Four candidates are vying for a spot in the general election to become Merced County's next superintendent of schools. As KVPR's Rachel Livenall reports, Richard Lopez took the lead Tuesday night with two candidates close behind.
Most superintendent candidates emphasize their experience in administration to win over voters. Three of them, including Lopez, are superintendents of school districts in Merced County, and another is a retired superintendent. Lopez told KVPR he's not celebrating yet.
We still sit here and we wait for the next update, but obviously it's still too close. But yeah, you know, I'm feeling okay about it.
The winner will take current Superintendent Steve Teigen's place when he retires in December. Teigen served 8 years in the seat. The top two vote-getters will run off during the general election in November. For KVPR News, I'm Rachel Livenall.
A group of Valley lawmakers is sounding the alarm on an invasive species called golden mussels. California Congressman David Valadao, Vince Fong, Jim Costa, and Josh Harder all signed a letter to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service asking for emergency federal funding to combat the rapidly spreading pests. They warn that the mussels are clogging water delivery systems and damaging infrastructure. They say farmers, residents, and water agencies are bearing those costs.
When Congress eliminated funding for public media last year, a lot of people thought that would be the end. In reality, it's just the beginning. KVPR is now a 100% community-supported service. People across the valley are stepping up. Join the movement and keep shows like this one on the air with your support today. It's a declaration in support of public radio. Start your new monthly gift at kvpr.org.
And now to our main story. The California June primary has come and gone, and the votes are being tallied. While many people tend to vote by mail or drop off their ballot at their convenience, some voters actually like to save the task for Election Day. KVPR reporters Israel Cardona Hernandez and Brandon Sandoval ventured out of the studios to hit a few polling places in the Fresno area and spoke to voters about why they voted in person.
I like to exercise my right as a citizen to come down and put it in the box and to get my little sticker saying I voted and walk away.
I think it's an honor to vote in person. We just saw a gentleman with a walker, and he definitely didn't need to go through all that discomfort and everything to vote in person, but he's sort of like us, you know, it's a
privilege.
Yeah.
It's a privilege to vote. Vietnam.
I don't trust that system, voting by mail.
I like to come down because that feels that's part of the role of a citizenship. Should cost you a little bit, you know, so that's my thinking behind that, you know.
That was Matthew casting his vote at the Clovis Old Town Transit Center, Stephen and Sandy in Fresno, Georgie in Fresno, and Robert voting in Clovis as well. And while ballots have been cast, results could still take a while. We turn now to KVPR Associate Editor Carrie Klein. Carrie, we were all up late following our local races. Mm-hmm. Let's start with the California governor's race. At a statewide level, what is the race looking like right now?
Well, as you said, the final results could take days to weeks. So take that, before we go into these numbers. But at this point, with about 50% of votes having been counted, Republican Steve Hilton and Democrat Javier Becerra are neck and neck, each with a little over 25% of votes. Democrat Tom Steyer is next, with Republican Chad Bianco and Democrat Katie Porter trailing behind. And then the other 55 candidates are even further behind that. Many Democratic leaders had been worried that the two Republicans would earn enough votes to actually block any Democrats from advancing with them, but that's looking very unlikely at this point.
And what about the governor's race here in the Central Valley? What's the voter data telling us so far? Which candidates does it look like Valley voters are leaning towards?
Yeah, that's a good question. We took some time to break down the governor's race county by county in our area. And interestingly, in every county in our area, Steve Hilton is leading, just like statewide. He's the top candidate. And in every county, except for Merced, Republican candidates won more than half the votes. That's not surprising in the conservative-leaning counties in the South Valley, but Fresno at least has historically voted blue. However, in 2024, it did go for President Trump. And then if we drill down a bit more, in Fresno and Merced, they kind of follow the statewide trend. So Hilton is leading, and then Javier Becerra, Democrat, comes next, then Steyer and Bianco. But in Kern, Kings, Tulare, Madera, and Mariposa counties, it's the Republicans who are leading, Steve Hilton and Chad Bianco, before any other Democratic candidates.
Wow, lots of shifts and changes to watch there. So let's move to some local congressional races. There are two races in particular that we've had our eyes on. First, could you tell us about the race for District 22, which you've been covering recently on this podcast?
Right. So at the time that we're recording this, about 11 p.m. on Tuesday night, about 50% of votes have been counted in this race. And so far, we haven't learned anything we didn't really expect already. So Republican David Valadao, the incumbent, is leading. He has about 44% of votes. He's almost certain to move on to the general election in November. And it's still unclear which Democrat will face him. Could be Assemblymember Jasmeet Bains or college professor Randy Villegas. But interestingly, these two Democrats together earned about 55% of votes so far. And so if all those voters were to rally behind whichever Democrat advances to the general election, they could potentially flip Valadao's seat. Mm. That's really appealing to the Democratic Party, which sees this seat as essential for winning back the House of Representatives in November. But there has also been a lot of mudslinging between these two Democrats, and it's really going to be an exciting next few months leading to November, whichever candidate makes it along with Valadao.
And while this race got a lot of attention 2 years ago, it's not been headline-grabbing this year. Can you tell us about the race for California's 13th congressional district?
Right. So this race is a lot more low-key than District 22. It's already held by a Democrat, Adam Gray. And after redistricting, this district is expected to become even more Democratic. So we're not expecting any major surprises here, but we're still keeping an eye on it because it is technically a swing district. And in 2024, Adam Gray beat the incumbent at that time, Republican John Duarte, by less than 200 votes. It was actually the last race to be called by the Associated Press in 2024. That was very exciting. For right now, like I said, Adam Gray is leading, but it's looking like a Republican Kevin Lincoln, will likely advance to the November with him. So we'll be watching to see if it's close again.
Well, now let's take a look at the race for California's 12th Senate District. It covers Foothill and Valley communities in Fresno, Kern, and Tulare counties. Incumbent Shannon Grove has termed out, so who's at the top of that race right now?
So vying for that seat is a name that's well known, at least in Fresno County, and that's Republican Nathan Magsig. He's currently a Fresno County supervisor representing the 5th District, and prior to that, he was on the Clovis City Council and had multiple stints as mayor. Right now, he has about 65% of votes, and he'll likely face off against a Libertarian candidate, William Brown Jr., who's a U.S. veteran and social worker. He has about 25% of votes right now.
And the 14th State Senate District is a competitive seat. It includes parts of southern Fresno and the cities of Coalinga and Merced. The seat is currently held by Anna Caballero, who's terming out, and some big names are in that race. How's it looking there, Carrie?
Yeah, so the front runner right now is Valley Assemblymember Esmeralda Soria. She faced another Valley Democrat and another Esmeralda, Sanger City Councilmember Esmeralda Hurtado, and they were both up against Republican Darren DuPont, a Merced City Councilmember. Even without all the results in so far, it's pretty clear that Soria and DuPont will advance to the general election. They're neck and neck with each other with about 30,000 votes each, and Esmeralda Hurtado is trailing very far behind with about 9,000 votes.
And speaking of Esmeralda Soria, there's a hot contest to fill her seat in Assembly District 27 now that she's made a run for state Senate. Can you tell us about that race?
Yes. So here in Assembly District 27, Fresno County Supervisor Brian Pacheco threw his hat in. He's a Democrat, and he's competing with another Democrat, Livingston City Councilmember Japjit Singh Upal, as well as Republican Mike Murphy, a small business owner. The results so far show that Mike Murphy and Brian Pacheco are leading in that race. They will likely be competing in November.
And there were also a lot of local races on the ballot. We won't have time to get through all of them, but how are some local city and county races turning out?
Right. So if we stay with Fresno County, the District 1 supervisor race, that's the race to replace the seat held by Brian Pacheco, who's running for the Assembly. This is a wide open race with 6 candidates. Leading so far is Fresno City Councilmember Mike Carbasi. In the District 4 supervisor race to replace Buddy Mendez, the clear frontrunner there is former Fresno County Sheriff Margaret Mims, another big name in this race. Other notable names in the race include longtime mayor of Huron, Ray Leon. He's quite far behind, though. Another tight race is the county superintendent of schools in Fresno County. The incumbent, Michelle Cantwell-Cofer, right now has a far lead over Emer O'Brien. She's the former superintendent of the Clovis Unified School District, and Johnny Alvarado, who's a school district employee. You heard us mention the Merced County superintendent of schools in the newscast at the top of this as well. There's also been some interesting drama there, which we've covered at KVPR. And in the Fresno City Council, 4 seats were up for election. We won't go through all of them, but we'll mention one of them here, the competitive race for District 3 to replace Miguel Arias, who was termed out. Assemblymember Dr. Joaquin Arambula took a local turn in this race. He and Fresno Unified trustee Keisha Thomas are neck and neck at the top of that race.
So much to sort through for the rest of this week, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
KVPR Associate Editor Carrie Klein, thanks so much for breaking down these results for us, and we'll be sure to follow these as the votes continue being counted.
Yeah, thank you, Sarith.
And that's today's show. Today's episode was produced by Carrie Klein, Elizabeth Arkalian, Jonathan Linden, and KVPR, with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Sarith Hawk. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
Each story you hear on Planet Money starts with a question. What happens if we refund tariffs? Why are groceries so expensive? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious, because the forces shaping our world can be hard to see. Follow NPR's Planet Money wherever you get your podcasts and start seeing how the economy really works.